Welcome to the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. Each week we sit around and discuss the music from our past. Sometimes we agree.
I call it iconic. It's a 10. That riff is it's incredible.
Clearly a 10. This is one of the most iconic songs of the 80s.
Iconic from start to finish.
And sometimes we disagree.
The song sounds like something you might hear at your aunt's funeral.
The absolute worst lyrics ever.
With the juvenile flush on that one, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not dealing with that crap.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
And we are back with another episode of the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. And this week, it's my pick. It's Dio, Holy Diver.
Yes,
guys,
sir.
Y'all ready to do this?
I'm ready. Anthony, let's hear your tagline this week. I know this wasn't your pick, but
it better
feels
be
like
a good one
for some reason.
I mean, I got two. They're kind of short, but let's try it. It's the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. So stand up and shout.
Okay.
Good.
Or like a rainbow in the dark, it's the Audible Ecstasy Podcast.
Good as well.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Golf clap. Yes.
So anyways.
Ah, man, that's great. Seriously, that's fantastic. Boys, this might be a little bit of, although we've had a pretty decent week, this might be a rough episode. Chris, feeling the blues. He's got a little vid.
He's got the vid, man.
It's a mild case, but yeah, I do.
Yeah, he's got a mild case. But so if he's not as talkative, that's the only reason why he's probably hated this album the entire week. I'm just kidding. I think he enjoyed a couple of these tunes, but nonetheless, let's get this thing started. It's track number one, Stand Up and Shout. All right, guys, obviously my pick this week, and I'm going to tell you right now, this album starts off firing on all cylinders from that fast-paced, it's nearly a thrash metal style introduction, and you know this album is starting off right. That's all I'm going to say. Ronnie James Dio is in top form vocally. He is passionately taking care of business. After the brief stint with Black Sabbath, he has a message, and he has certainly an agenda to prove. This song absolutely proves it all. I mean, he goes out, picks up one of the hottest guitarists in all the land, and Vivian Campbell, and he comes in and destroys, starts off with this song and kills it. Passionate vocals throughout. The guitar work is fantastic. This one has one of the best solos in all of the Dio discography. If you guys check that out, it's a fantastic solo. I'm probably coming in low on this, and I should fanboy the crap out of this one, but I'm at an 8.5. I think it's somewhere between excellent and outstanding. I probably should change that to 9 because I think
it
is
make
an outstanding
it a 9.
Song. You know
make
what? I am because it is.
Don't,
it's just outstanding.
Don't try and hold back on this album.
Yeah,
let it,
right.
let
this
it happen.
Worth
this
it.
Album deserves it.
For once, Anthony's correct. Yes, you're right, Anthony.
Just change that to
9. Don't try.
It right, is a 9. It is a 9. All right, Chris, what do you think about Stand Up and Shout?
Well, it's a powerful intro. It really is. Man, I was surprised to see that Vivian Campbell was the guitarist on this album because honestly, I didn't realize he had the chops he had. Yeah, I think Ronnie's vocals are tremendous. He's very powerful with his vocals, very theatrical. I enjoy it. Just the title, the whole theme of the song, Stand Up and Shout, that's a great way to start an album, you know? I mean, it kind of lets you know what you're here for. I got to say, I gave it a 9. I think it's an outstanding way to start the album. Anthony, if he has a 9, we've got 27. He might go higher. I wouldn't blame him if he did. But
I wouldn't either, honestly. I was trying to keep my fanboy in check. But I'm not even going to. This is Ronnie James Dio.
No, this is one of the best. Actually, I think this may be one of the best opening songs that we've reviewed so far. Because it fits opening an album so perfectly, especially something like this.
Oh, it comes out destroying, doesn't it? Good Lord. All right, Anthony, what did you think about Stand Up and Shout?
I mean, basically what you guys said is what I said. I mean, I love how the song comes in with that crunchy guitar before it blasts in that driving beat. Yeah, it's a great way to lead an album in. Dio is sounding powerful and fantastic. The guitars, the drums, everything's working perfectly. The guitar solo's on fire. You know, many of the guitar solos on this album just rip. And I didn't realize it was Vivian Campbell to the end. I'm not sure how I didn't know that because I've had this album for a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's a 9 for me too. I think it's outstanding. And I bet this was amazing in concert. Especially during the chorus, man. I bet you the lights came up. He's like, stand up and shout. And the whole audience
got lit up. Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you it was pretty cool to see. So
it'd be a great way to start a concert, too. I mean, this is a perfect opener for a concert. I mean,
for sure.
It could almost be a 10 because this is very high. And when you put on a Ronnie James Dio playlist, this is always on there somewhere. So this is a very popular song for him. So,
I mean, it wasn't a single, but in all fairness, it's hard to say this isn't perfection for this genre. I mean, it really is.
You're not going to have to twist my arm to go any higher, guys. I am actually trying to be fair about this album.
Forget it. I'm not trying to be fair.
Holy smokes. All right. Well, you think that one was hot. Let's get to track number 2. It's a little one called Holy Diver.
Shiny diamonds like the eyes of a cat in the black and blue. Something is coming for you. Race for the morning. You can hide in the sun till you see the light. Oh, we will pray it's all right. Gotta get away. Get away. Between the velvet lies, there's a truth that's hard as steel. Yeah. The vision never tiger. You can feel his heart, but you know he's mean. Some light can never be seen. Yeah!
All right. Guys, I had wrote up an just a big detailed bunch of junk on this. I'm going to tell you right now. I changed it last night or yesterday morning to this. This is what I wrote down. Holy Diver. Quite honestly, this may be one of the most iconic songs, riffs ever written. You know it from the first note. It's a 10. That's all I need to say about it. Chris.
Well, I know we don't pay much attention to this. This is Dio's highest stream song, in case you guys were wondering.
Doesn't surprise
on Spotify, anyway. And actually, kind of high numbers, like around 180 million, which is... You know,
pretty good for our stuff. For my stuff.
What this is, I think it's pretty high, considering that a lot of people nowadays probably don't listen to it. But
wasn't there a new band did one of his recently? Killswitch Engage.
Killswitch Engage did a cover. Is incredible. About 10 years ago.
Was it Holy Diver or was it Rainbow in the Dark?
Oh no, it was Holy Diver. It was awesome.
Okay, well, maybe that helped drive listens, it a little bit too.
It could have.
Both of those songs actually have over 100 million streams, so pretty impressive. Anyway, yeah, to me, this one just feels like an old school rock anthem. It's got a little gallop to it, which I really like. Vivian kills that guitar solo yet again. It is the title track. It's their highest stream song. I'm with you. It's a 10, guys.
Excellent. Anthony, Holy Diver.
Song facts. You want to go funny or you want to go serious?
Yeah, let's go funny.
Let's go funny.
Let's go funny, man.
Okay. This was covered, ironically, by the gospel singer Pat Boone on his In a Metal Mood album. Acknowledging the subject matter, the song ends with Pat reciting Psalm 23:4. Dio sang the backup vocals. He thought it was hilarious. So that's
get out that. Of here. Dio sang backup vocals on Pat Boone's version of this.
Yes, that's what it says.
RJD. I love it. I love it. Oh my God.
Now, the serious part is, this is a little out there, and it's a little notch long, but I want to read it all because it's really interesting. So, I got my coffee here, so I'm good to go, I think.
Keep going.
At its surface, this song is about Satan and his descent to hell, his dive. But according to Dio, there's a lot more to it. And the main character isn't really the devil. The song Holy Diver is really about a Christ figure who on another place, not Earth, has done exactly the same as we've apparently experienced or were supposed to have experienced on Earth, dying for the sins of man so that man can start again and be cleansed and do it properly. He told Sam Dunn for the film Metal, A Headbanger's Journey, so the same thing happened on this other far distant planet, and all the people on this planet are calling him the Holy Diver because he's about to go to another world to do what he did to the first, absolve them from their sins by having himself killed. And the people are saying to him, don't go, with innuendos of tigers and stripes and hearts and being eaten. It was meant to show just how selfish humanity is, that this one form of humanity on this one world said, no, don't go down there and save anybody else. Stay here. We need you. You are ours. Wow. So that is what at the heart of the song is, this song is about. So
I thought it was about a cocaine trip, but I just, you know, I don't know, man. You can see his lines.
They interviewed Ronnie James Dio for, so
I do. Well, he would have been the one that would say it. That is crazy. Wow.
That's a crazy thing to think about. But you imagine if Jesus landed on another planet. I mean, it would be kind of an interesting idea for a story, come think of it. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. You know. Wow. All right. Well, that is crazy. What do you think about the song, though, Anthony?
Like I said, it was a notch long. I was trying to cut out the meat of that.
Because I don't like to read that much. 30 here, Anthony. But let's.
That's what I'm saying. I was trying to cut the meat of that out, and I was like, there's nothing I can cut out here. This is all interesting, you know?
It is.
It actually was really interesting. Both stories, actually.
Yeah, actually. Both stories are great.
Well, I'm going to go with mine. Just, you know, I love that incredible intro, that spooky vibe, that keyboard sounds great. Yeah. Every freaking thing works in this song. I'll skip through my stuff, too. I mean, the vocals, the guitars, the drums, that driving beat. It's just, it's ridiculous how good this song is. And this is one of those all-time metal classics, too. I mean, it's up there in the pantheon of top 20 metal songs, maybe top 30 all-time metal songs. It's amazing. Oh, yeah. It's a 10. It's perfection. I mean, it's a 30 for us on this one, so... Yeah.
Excellent. I knew it would be, man. I was hoping it would be. There was a little, you know, a little gray area with Chris on this one, but I know with you, I figured we'd be.
I knew two songs on this album. I definitely knew this one when I heard it.
Actually, I still have this CD upstairs in my CD.
Dude, I've got this on actual LP over here, so it's killer. Killer, man. Oh, my Lord. All right. We'll move this to track number 3. It's called Gypsy. Guys, so Gypsy, this one starts off with a tasty little bluesy riff, and then the bass line walks us into like a mid-paced rocker, I should say. Ronnie's vocals, stellar when telling his tale. I mean, the song is in no way as good as the two predecessors, and this in turn caused this one to fall short, at least to my ears. I'm not saying it's terrible, because the guitar solo is absolutely fantastic. Vivian Campbell's amazing. But I found the song to be good, and really nothing more on my ears on this one. This would be my flush this week, to be honest with you guys.
Oh, come on, not Gypsy.
This is my lowest rated song. Yeah, it's my lowest rated song, dude. I got to hearken for a couple other tunes on here that are lesser known, though. But, you know, I'm at a 5. I think it's good. That's
really
it
that low, huh?
Well, in this one it is. Yeah, it's the lowest one of the night, and this is by far lower than anything. Like, way lower than anything else I've got.
I don't hear a five in this one.
That's all right, man. Like I said, it's my worst. It's my least favorite song on this album. Chris,
it's Gypsy. Probably one of my favorite Dio songs, actually.
Is it really Gypsy?
Wow.
I've always loved Gypsy.
Fair enough. I lean more on Anthony's side on this one. This song rocks like hell. I mean, it's just turn up the mic to 10 and let it rip kind of song. I love that line that you got a choice, the hammer or the nail. I mean, it's just like,
that's a great
line, man. I love it. I mean, Ronnie, he sounds a little different on this one than he does on others, but he's still got just such a powerful voice. I mean, he just permeates through the song. He really does. It's amazing. It's the shortest song on this album. It's only went under 4 minutes, which it didn't. You know, that's the thing. Like, to me, that's normally a good thing. But I feel like they could have gone a little longer on this song because, it was over like that. And I was like, this is such a rocker. I came in with an 8. I think it's an excellent song.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic. All right, Anthony, what do you think about Gypsy?
Like I said before, you know, it's one of my favorites by him. And I think maybe the reason why it sounds a little different to Chris is I think this harkens back to his Elf and Rainbow days. That's sort of the sound in his vocals is back in his 70s sound more than his metal.
It's Kiss,
sound,
Chris. It's also Kiss. he always gives me hell about Rainbow.
But that's what I kind of thought of when I heard this one. I was like, it sounds more like one of those old songs by him. But, you know, Dio's voice is amazing. The drums, the guitars, you know, it's a nasty guitar solo in this song, too.
Yeah.
It's a 9 for me, man. I think it's outstanding.
Wow.
I love this song. I've been a fan of this song for a long time. So
you got to admit, Jimmy, this song rocks like hell.
It does,
I mean, it
man.
Rocks.
It's all right. Fair enough. Fair enough, guys. This is my least favorite song on the album, and I think it's still good, although it's not my favorite. And I think we're getting ready to go for a ride down here the next handful of tracks that'll just, in my opinion, absolutely blister. So,
oh yeah, all right. Definitely.
Fair enough. Let's go to track 4. It's called Caught in the Middle. All right, this one is the one that really stands out as underappreciated in my ears on this record. Ronnie's vocal performance is just absolutely excellent. This one actually became super catchy to me for some reason over the years. It's just something that stands out to me. The vibe of this song sounds as if it could have been in an 80s teen movie. I mean, just the way I dig it, you know, the way I hear it. I think the song is excellent. This one might be the sleeper for me on this album. I think it's that good. I'm an 8. Chris, what'd you think about Caught in the Middle?
Yeah, it's a solid tune. The melodies and the riffs, they all sound very polished to me. I almost feel like this maybe was intended to be a single, but just never became one for whatever reason. I don't know.
It might be popular, more popular by him in it, Jimmy. Caught in the Middle.
You know what? I didn't see a whole lot about it this week, and I thought, God, this song absolutely rips. But, I mean, it's just one of the lesser known ones, I think.
No. You know the intro to this song? You know that song by The Darkness that I believe in a thing called love? The intro reminded me of that for some reason. I don't know why. I didn't catch the intro. I should have. But I just kind of made a note of that when I was going over it one more time yesterday. Right. I will fully admit I was in a bit of a brain fog with this code yesterday, so some of my notes may not make a lot of sense. So I'm like reading them back. I'm trying to decipher what I wrote here. But and I'm going to say this, and Anthony will be happy to hear this. This is my lowest score of the night. It's a 7. But I've decided from now on, if anything If my lowest score of the night is a 7 on an album, it's not getting a flush. There's just going to be no flushes on this album tonight. It's too good. I'm not going to do that.
Thank God.
Good news, man.
If anything hits a 6.5 or below, though, in the future, as my lowest score, it will get a flush. Yeah, nice. But this, there was no flushes on this album, guys. I mean, you set me up, Jimmy. There's no way I could flush anything on this album. There's no way.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, Anthony. What'd you think about Caught in the Middle?
Songfacts.com. The song is about Angelo Arcuri. He was the engineer on Holy Diver and would often come to Dio when he was having troubles. Dio came up with the song's title when Angelo told him he was caught in the middle again. Now, this is pretty cool stuff here. This rocker is part of, you know, Holy Diver, the first album by Dio. Of course, the band formed by Ronnie James after leaving Black Sabbath. They recorded the album at Sound City Studios with Dio producing. Without an experienced hand at the helm, they had to figure out how to make the album as they went along, which made Angelo Acuri's role as engineer a very important one. They end up using some unorthodox techniques to get a distinct sound, like putting drummer Vinny Appice's kit against a window and surrounding him with plywood. Said the album ended up being a metal landmark and proof that Ronnie James Dio could succeed outside of Black Sabbath. So it's kind of interesting to think someone against a window with plywood around just to get a drum sound is
that's unique. Crazy. Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that you don't get these days because computers, I think take over a lot of this stuff. But back in the day, it's like the movies when they did all the special effects. You know, you really had to get creative, and it made stuff so much more richer, well, I think.
You want to think about something creative. Just to touch on that, Anthony, you know, this was obviously released in 83. They probably recorded it in late 82, early 83.
Yeah.
And Metallica's Kill 'Em All came out in 83. And one of their recording techniques for Metal Militia is, do you remember this? They used boots on stairs. They would go, they were taking boots and recording boots, just hitting boots on stairs to make the Metal Militia walk. So that's how ingenuitive they had to be back in those days, I guess, kind of creating their own sounds and I can see them doing something like this, honestly. I mean, because this was pre-Pro Tools, obviously, and they can make the drums sound as big as they wanted back then, because I'm sure it was something that was very important to him coming out of Black Sabbath with one of the greatest, you know. Was in Sabbath with him, so.
What's that?
Harkens back to some of these directors and movies back in the 70s and stuff. Some of the they had to get creative, and sometimes you watch those and you're like, wow, that's a smart way to do something. They didn't have CGI, they just had to like do what they could
right.
Go ahead.
That's why Jaws became iconic. They couldn't get the shark to work, so they had to figure out a way to make the make it seem scary without showing the shark, and it turned out to be more iconic because they couldn't see the shark because they couldn't get it to work. The shark didn't work half the time, so they had to figure out creative ways to make it look like a shark.
It's the music, isn't it? It's the music that leads it to it. The music in that movie
absolutely
leads to dread and fear. It's fantastic.
Yeah, but if they'd have shown the shark, it would have it wouldn't have been nearly as iconic.
Goof fest. Yeah,
you know. So
yeah, maybe.
But and technically, Jaws was the first blockbuster ever. I mean, the first one to launch on multiple screens at one time. So
look
that up too.
Wow.
Yeah, because before. I'm not getting into the weeds on this, but before they used to like trickle it down, you know, like the smaller screens from bigger screens. But with Jaws, it went everywhere at one time. So anyways, I'm not back in. I went to school for film, so I kind of learned a lot of stuff.
I got you.
Get Anthony talking. This will be a 2-hour episode on this stuff.
Yeah, wow, I know a lot about movies. I probably should.
So your rating on this one, how high did you go on this one, just out of curiosity?
I got a 9. It's an outstanding for me.
I knew you were going to go high. That's awesome, dude.
I mean, it makes me smile. The intro, you know, I said I'm running out of adjectives for the word great. This is a classic by Dio. He nails those vocals. Band is on point. Great groove, great vibe. I mean, it's a 9 for me.
That's awesome.
Man. I didn't even try to be very critical on any of these things. They're just too good. It's just too hard to even think critically. And awesome, I don't think critically anyways most of the time, but especially on this album. So.
Oh, my God. Well, you think that one's a good one. Here comes another one. Track number 5, Don't Talk to Strangers, Chris.
Don't smell the flower. They're an evil drug to make you lose your mind. Don't dream of women, cause they'll only bring you down. Oh!
touch me.
Oh my God, you want to talk about a rocker. Here we go. All right, I do enjoy that clean guitar opening. It kind of fools the listener, thinking you're going to get maybe a little bit of a ballad, but not with Ronnie. Not this time, kids. He says, no, no, son. Anyway, it starts slow, fools the listener to believe it. It absolutely destroys. That mean guitar riffing of Vivian Campbell and thundering bass of Jimmy Bain takes over. And Dio yet again weaves another tale of warnings or women or something of that nature. And man, the guitar solo in this song, freaking killer. Holy smokes. I mean, this song, it's one of those ones you got to listen to a couple times to get the grow on you. But that riff, oh my God, dude, it just, it gets in the back of your head. I think it's an underappreciated song on this record as well. It's killer. Run, 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 run away. It's between excellent and outstanding. It's 8.5. Chris.
Yeah, it's very theatrical vocals on this one. I almost feel like this could fit in Broadway. That may sound like an insult. It's not intended to be so. I feel like, I mean, he kind of, I think he'd have been great, like, on the stage, honestly, as far as, like, in a play setting or something, or musical setting. Because
I've tried to write that at one point.
Rock opera kind of stuff, you know what I mean? Queen's the same way, you know? Like, it just, some of these bands just, like, their stuff is made for the stage. And I kind of feel like this would make a great play or something. I don't know. It's my sleeper of the night. I mean, I just absolutely love the way that song kicks in. You know, it kind of starts out like you're traipsing through the Shire, and all of a sudden the gates of hell just open up and you get dropped right
Mordor
in.
Mordor opens up on you.
Exactly. And then Vivian, man. I mean, he really does a great job on this song. I got to give him credit. You know, and then I feel like Ronnie's just maybe just a shade stronger on this song than some, too. He just really gives it that extra oomph on this song. I gave it an 8. It's an excellent song.
Awesome. All right, Anthony. Don't talk to strangers.
I thought this was about drug abuse. It's like I read that somewhere. I don't know if that's true.
It could be.
You know, it's got a nice acoustic intro, very smooth. I like how the song transitions into that galloping beat. You know, Ronnie, once again, he knows how to serve a song, you know, with his voice. His voice fits every song perfectly, whether it's high, whether it's low, or wherever it is, he can make it work perfectly. You know, the drums are going off. I mean, the drums are really on fire on this one. Guitar is blistering. Great groove and vibe, man. It's another 9 for me. It's outstanding. So
awesome. I like it. Anthony is absolutely doing what I should have been doing all along. I love it. All right.
I told you I'm going to do it on this one. There's 1.8 and 1.7, and that's it. The rest of them are 9s or 10s.
That's awesome.
I'm not going to apologize for it either.
You don't have to, because I love it. I love it. All right, track 6. It's called Straight Through the Heart.
Like a
So this one right here, Straight Through the Heart, starts off with that nice bass-driven riff, yet again another song that will grow on you. Got stuck in my head as well this week. Such an easy chorus and verse to sing along with. I mean, this one had my head bobbing. It's got fantastic riffage. And I also enjoyed that nice slowdown in pace in the middle of the song, which we didn't get here on the recording. And it gives RJD a little spotlight, although he doesn't need it on this song. I mean, absolutely, the solo was awesome. Tasty fitting to this song. I think it's absolutely great. Or I should say, absolutely excellent. This one's an 8 in my ears as well. Chris, what did you think about Straight Through the Heart?
I'm going to use Anthony's line there. Head bobbing, toe tapping. There's a lot. That fits a lot of this stuff,
actually. It's bombastic.
It's very bombastic. Very much so. Yeah, it's just a rocking tune. Again, Ronnie's vocals just on point. I mean, the guy's such an amazing vocalist. That's all there is to it. This one's got like a really nasty groove to it. I noticed Vivian doing some of those, what do they call it, like where they bend the guitar string when they're doing that whammy kind of sound.
Oh, the whammy bar? There,
yeah, no, is it whammy? I don't think it's whammy. He's just doing it, I think, with his, oh, you know, it's the stuff Zach Wilde did all the time.
The harmonics, yeah. The squeeze.
Yeah, he definitely great, got great some of that in there. Real catchy chorus on this one. Easy to sing along to. Definitely passes the crank test. I gave it an 8.
Fabulous.
Oh, and there was a part in the guitar solo there where it's almost like they got dueling guitars. I don't know if that's overdubbed or if that's somebody else coming in with Vivian or what, but that sounded great too.
I would imagine it's overdubbed because I don't see another guitar credited on this record.
Okay.
Anthony, what do you think about Straight Through the Heart?
Well, you know, that drum intro is fire, and the beat of this song is just, it's crushing. You know, it just pounds the speakers into submission. That's what I wrote down.
It really does.
This is the song that easily passes the crank test. And it's the song that just demands just full volume, as loud as you can get this freaking thing. Ronnie's killing on vocals. The drums are going off. You know, this is a damn near perfect song in my mind. I gave it a 9.5. It's somewhere between outstanding and perfection for me. It's just, this song just absolutely rips, man. You just want to put this one as loud as you can put this one. I absolutely just love that beat. So, yeah, it's a 9.5. So,
good Lord. Wow. All right.
I told you, I'm not unapologetic. This album is fire, man. This is one of the better albums we've reviewed personally. You know, so
that is awesome. All right. Well, let's move it on to track number 7. It's called Invisible, Chris. God, Invisible, Ronnie James Dio's yet again fooling us with a slow start that makes the listener think this could be a ballad, but the song yet again morphs into a mid-paced rocker and exploits the excellent, excellent vocal stylings of Ronnie James. I mean, at this point, you either love his vocal style or you're wrong. I mean, that's just all it is to it. The solo from Vivian is excellent. That bass work really, really holds this song in check, and this song is absolutely very good, and that's where I'm at. I'm at a 7. Chris, what'd you think about Invisible?
You know, I didn't get the intro to this one, because the song kind of like starts out differently, and it kind of dramatically changes directions, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's like a little break there, and just, to me, that's probably, that intro that's maybe a minute long, maybe like the worst part of the album. I mean, to me, that's, but then it just changes directions and absolutely rocks like hell. I mean, the riffs are fantastic on this song. I mean, Vivian again with the guitar solo, it's just one of those dun, 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 and you're just bobbing your head the whole time. 7.5 for me, solely because of that intro, which I didn't really care that much for, but after that, song just rocks like hell. So, and it didn't last that long.
Ah, right. All right, Anthony.
It wasn't that bad. It's just, I mean, this album is so stellar. Just probably the weakest 1 minute in that album, in my opinion.
You hear the album, when the album is so good, sometimes you can pick out those little nuances occasionally. Yeah. Something just doesn't sound, you know. But songfacts.com on this one. Dio explained it was written about three different people, a gay young man, an abused girl, and me. I wanted to write the song from a standpoint of someone who had been injured psychologically, and that happened in the case of the gay boy and the young girl, always being put upon, kicked and shoved around for not being what people expect them to be. I included myself in the last part of it because I spent all my life on the stage and have had a lot of trauma. I felt I deserved to be included in that because of what most musicians have had to go through in their lives. But the whole answer to it is, you can just become invisible. You can escape those kind of things because you have a mind that will let you do that. I don't mean escape them forever, but when people do that to you, why do you want to stand there and have the arrows and stones thrown at you? Just become invisible. I really like that attitude of the song. So,
wow. That's a
pretty good little song fact.
I've never even read that or heard that. That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, you know, it's another great intro. I enjoy that guitar that leads the song in. Very mournful, moody. Ronnie once again proves, you know, the great vocalist he is. It's a broken record. He kind of down-tunes his voice on this one a little bit on it, and it really works for this song. It gives it that extra little oomph that needs. And it's kind of one of those Rainbow Elf songs again for him, I think. He's got that sort of vocal range again. This is an 8 for me, actually, on Excellent. I don't think this one was as strong as the ones before it, but
right.
I still think it's an excellent tune. I mean, for this album, for me, you know.
Have we gotten to your 7 yet, Anthony?
Huh?
Have we gotten to your 7 yet?
No,
you have a 7.
Not yet.
It's okay, got to be the last song, because there's no way it's Rainbow in the Dark.
Yeah, it's definitely
not
Rainbow.
Yeah, I honestly kind of wish they'd have flipped Rainbow in the Dark in the last song, because you imagine closing this out, opening with Stand Up and Shout and closing with Rainbow in the Dark. You want to talk about two perfect bookends right there? My goodness, yeah, man. Dude,
it's amazing. All right, well, speaking of the devil, let's go ahead and break it out. Track 8, Rainbow in the Dark. Oh my God. All right. So we know this is going to be a big one. Rainbow in the Dark. So we're moving toward the closing of this album. And this has been just an absolute fantastic ride. Ronnie and gang's pulling out all the stops. They place this incredible keyboard laden track down and lets the listener know this ride isn't over yet. Buckle up. Hold on. It's absolutely identifiable from the first notes. You know it as soon as it plays. I love everything about it. It's an absolute staple in the heavy metal diet that I grew up loving. The solo is memorable, soulful, tasteful, and it has some blazing speed that Vivian loves to show off. I mean, heck, even the drums are highlighted in this song. Doom, doom, doom. I mean, my gosh, dude, this is absolute fantastic, iconic perfection. It's a 10. Chris, Rainbow in the Dark.
Yeah, my notes are kind of short and sweet on this one. I knew this song probably the best out of all the songs on this album. Definitely heard it on the radio quite a bit. It's extremely catchy. Has over 147 million streams on Spotify. This is perfection for Dio, perfection for the genre. It's an easy 10.
Well, we lost Jimmy, so, you know, but anyways. I'll go into my stuff.
You lost me?
Yeah, Chris finished and you didn't say anything. So,
oh, well, I heard a noise. I was like, what was that? Did y'all hear that?
You know, we're so...
That's why I was... Professional. Wow, that mic here is pretty good at cutting that sound.
I guess I don't know what that was. Not, my kids aren't up. They're still asleep. All right, Anthony. Sorry. Go ahead.
Rainbow. Okay, I'm going to go into my my spiel first and then read song facts because it's really going to be interesting to hear our three opinions compared to Ronnie's opinion of this song. So,
oh, really?
Oh, God. Oh, no. Zero issues, zero flaws. Everything works from the opening riff to the very last one. This is one of the all-time great metal songs, and maybe even more so than Holy Diver. I could go on and on about what works in this song, but there's no need. Just listen to it, and you will see why it is an all-time metal classic, and one of the greatest back half of an album songs we've ever covered, and maybe in the discography of metal in general, one of the best back half songs. It's a 10. It's perfection. And from songfacts.com... Rainbow in the Dark is one of Dio's most enduring songs. Sounds good so far, right? But Ronnie James Dio tried to murder it with a razor blade. It's a song I really dislike, he explained in a track-by-track interview. When it was finished, I announced to everyone that I was going to take a razor blade and cut the tape up. I went for the razor blade and went, no, no, don't. For me, it was too poppy for the album. I didn't want to create a piece of pop because I came from Black Sabbath, a band that allowed me to do anything as dark as I wanted to do it. I didn't want those people who liked what I did in Black Sabbath to say, no, now he's changed. He's become a pop artist. But they talked me out of it, and I thanked them over and over. I still feel the song is too poppy, but it works. It says each band member added bits and pieces to the song, but it formed around a riff by guitarist Vivian Campbell. At first, it was called A Bottle of Wine. So this song was called A Bottle of Wine initially, according to Song Facts. So I'm assuming all that's legit.
Like a bottle of wine.
I could hear it, you know. But anyways, I thought that was interesting. You know, it's like
I can see, like, listening to his vocals on this track and everything, knowing how much he rocks, I can see him maybe thinking this was a little too soft for the album. I can understand that.
Yeah. It's the most great song,
but it is probably the most mainstream poppy song on the album.
It is.
But it's still funny to me to go back and hear these iconic songs of how they almost didn't become iconic songs.
There's so many
in the history that just like, we need a song for this album. Let's write this one in 5 minutes. And it became like, you know,
massive.
Whatever it was. You know, massive, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But
Fan favorites, things like that.
I think it's just the creative nature. I think sometimes if you got to rush to do, sometimes you just got to really throw it out there. You get some of your best work because you're really on point trying to figure something out. Or if you have time to think about it and gestate on it, you're like, you overthink it and kind of ruin the vibe of it. So, but anyways.
Yeah, right, right. I mean, didn't y'all say that that's how Warrant wrote Cherry Pie?
Well, that's the one exception.
I'm joking, dude. I'm joking.
Poor Janie Lane, man. I mean, that I feel sorry. He wrote that song.
I kid, man.
He kind of went into a downward spiral after that song. I mean, resulting in his death, but, basically. I mean,
you know, Martin Popoff has an episode about when hair metal went grunge that's really good. And Warrant actually did okay with a few grungy songs they did. They had the chops to kind of put the guitar and the vocals in there. So,
no.
Cherry Pie, if they would have been for Cherry Pie, I think they could have been a little bit better. Well, listen to that episode sometime. Look it up on Martin Popoff's thing.
I like old Martin, man. I like old Martin. I give him credit, man. He will be as kind as possible, and then sometimes he'll just let it fly. Sometimes
Do you know Dawkins did a grunge album? I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's got a blue cover. I can't think of the name of it. It's garbage.
Yeah.
But, it's got a gray cover. Sorry, gray cover.
Yeah. Oh, I was just surprised to hear Dawkins doing grunge. I was like, what?
Yeah, I remember George Lynch was selling all these baritone guitars back in like 94, 5, 6, whenever it was. Yeah, crazy. I'm out on that, by the way. Yeah, I love Dawkins, but that was garbage. Hot garbage. All right, let's get this thing wrapped up. Final track. It's called Shame on the Night, Chris.
Dreams. You never, never, never know just what they mean. It all
All right. Same on the night. Now, how do you follow up perfection? Well, you got to start off with a little bit of wolves growling and howling, and then you like add the gaze, you add the bass and the guitar, and you let it walk in, and that's pretty much how you do it. This song is simply slower, and it's really like a heavier song in that slow driving pace. I mean, that bass pounding your ears, just doom, doom, doom. I mean, it honestly allows a listener to calm down after what we just listened to and still know you're listening to something heavy. I mean, initially, when I was a kid, I remember not even caring about this song. In my ears, back when I was like 10, 11, 12 years old, the album ended after Rainbow in the Dark. And that was a mistake because this song isn't that bad. I mean, my God, this song actually grew on me over time, and it's a type of song that does require multiple listens in order to hear everything that's going on. I mean, you got an excellent performance from all members. The drums, I mean, you heard it. Chris, you pulled out the right part. The drums are absolutely powerful. The guitars are heavy. The bass is driving the song. The keys, although they're a little bit in the background, they are adding atmosphere. And the vocals, of course, are the sweet, sweet topping. I find this between great and excellent. I'm at a 7.5. Chris, what'd you think about Shame on the Night?
Yeah, I wrote this just now listening to that. Those riffs there, those power chords, almost have like a Sabbath-esque kind of sound to them. I wonder if he didn't kind of take that from his time in Black Sabbath. It almost feels like a Halloween song at the beginning of this thing with those wolves going and everything. It's pretty neat intro. I love the fact it's a bass-heavy song. Actually, the whole rhythm section, they really do push this song. I think it's an excellent closer. The way it kind of slows down in the middle and then builds back up into that kind of like crescendo at the end, if you will. It's an 8. I think it's an excellent song.
All right, Anthony. I know this is your flush. Shame on the Night.
It's actually not a flush. I gave it a 7. I think it's a great tune. Okay. This is the one it just didn't, I still think it's a great song. I still love to listen to it. But if I had to pick one on the song that's not as strong as the other ones, it would probably be this one. You know, I love those wolf howls.
Flush of the week. I'm going to make a clip to play that whenever he gives his lowest score just to play that.
That's hilarious.
Oh, God.
I mean, I don't know. It's a solid tune, man. I do like it a lot. But I like that sort of Pink Floyd vibe that leads this song in. It's kind of unique after the wolves. There's like a spot there that reminds me of Pink Floyd for some reason. You get the heavy drums, the driving bass beat, Ronnie's vocals. I mean, it's a solid closer. No real issues. I gave it a 7. I think it's great. Though I think they should have flip-flopped them. I really do. I think it should have closed with Rainbow. You want more, man.
I will say this, Anthony. Shame on the Night is the one song that really is different compared to the rest of the entire album. So I don't know that it would have fit anywhere else because it was so... I mean, this was like... This is Black Sabbath worship.
It could have fit in the middle, maybe. Middle might. It's not been a good middle song.
Yeah, possibly so. But you know what? Still yet, all these years, fantastic. All right, so it's time for a little final thought on this Dio Holy Diver. All right, so... Little history here. This is the second album I ever bought by Dio when I was a kid. The first one I ever bought was Sacred Heart, which came out, I think, 85, 86. And I remember seeing the video for Holy Diver and Rainbow the Dark on Headbangers Ball back in the day. Immediately, I knew I was going to be a Ronnie James Dio fan. And, of course, that's what led me to going back, getting Holy Diver and Last in Line. But I will say this. If you think about what Ronnie James Dio just did, in my opinion, and you guys know I said this before on the podcast, his Black Sabbath stint... Those two albums are probably two of my top five Sabbath albums. Heaven and Hell being probably my favorite Sabbath album. And I love it because of Ronnie James' vocal styling. And Vinny Appice, the drummer on this record, is the drummer on those Sabbath albums. So just think about that. So he brought him with him when he came across and did his solo work. I mean, this backing band on the Holy Diver and the Last in Line and the Sacred Heart era is my favorite of all the eras of Dio. And it's because of Jimmy Bain, Vivian Campbell, and Vinny Appice. I mean, Campbell left after Sacred Heart, but my God, guys, you got to admit, his riffs are just absolutely stellar on this record. This album is an absolute fantastic ride from start to finish, with the exception of one song that did bring my score down, and it's, you know, not a bad song by no means. This is essential listening for any fan of heavy metal, 80s rock and metal in general. Ronnie's voice has always been larger than his stature, and this album is considered iconic in many circles. I love this record, and I hope you guys enjoyed the listen. My overall came out to be in just a hair over 8. That's not good enough for this record, y'all. This is a 9. This is an outstanding album and basically just a picture in time of 83 perfection. I mean, honestly, this is one of my favorite albums of all time. This could be one of my Deserted Island albums. I mean, I'll just be honest with y'all. The more I listen to this, the more I'm like, God, this is so fantastic. And just in general, I love it. Chris, final thoughts.
Well, the reason your score is too low is because you shit the bed on Gypsy.
Yeah, you're right. I did. I took
should've
a dump.
Should have got about a 7 on that one.
I should have went with probably 7.5.
You did 5 on that? God. That's a great song.
I gave it a good song. All right. Anyway.
All right. I'll leave you alone.
Trying to be
good. Yeah, man, I got to say, this is a great pick, Jimmy. Between listening to this album this year and the Heaven and Hell album when he was with Sabbath, we've gotten a healthy dose of Ronnie James Dio this year. And honestly, man, I'm glad we have, because I did not realize what a vocalist this guy was beforehand. There is no weak point on this album. This album was so good that it made me change my flush criteria. I mean, that speaks volumes. I mean, and I've thought about that in the past, but I was like, nah, this is low enough. I just couldn't flush anything on this album. It was that good. Ronnie's vocals is just theatrical, powerful. He's just got a tremendous stage presence. And I'll say this, Vivian Campbell impressed me. To be honest, before this album, I always thought of him as the guy that couldn't carry Sykes's water, and on top of that, I mean, they had to hire two guitarists to recover, you know, and then this kind of pretty boy that stood there for Def Leppard. I never really thought he was that good a guitarist, but man, I was wrong, because this album, if he's the only guitarist on this, the whole album's just fantastic. I mean, really.
Hold on, Chris. Anthony, did you see it? The see orb. What? The orb just did a circle around Chris. It's doing it right now. Do you see it?
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen
this
it.
This is dust. I've got I see the dust floating from here.
Oh, no. It was way behind you.
No, it wasn't. It was kind of moving. Dude,
it did
circle.
Like a circle. Chris, it was crazy. All right, now let's continue. Like dust. Continue. Apparently, Ronnie James is in this video.
We'll
it's,
give that
it's
orb
awesome.
Code if it's not careful, man. He needs to stay away.
That's crazy, dude.
Anyway,
just saw that.
I'm totally lost now. Okay.
I'm lost.
Good pick, Jimmy. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's probably going to be my top 5 albums of the year. I gave it 8.5 overall, and I'm good with that.
Yeah. Fantastic.
That's like not rounding. I mean, it landed 8.5 for me.
What'd you give it, Jim? Chris?
Chris gave it 8.5. Mine rounded. Mine was an 8.1.
I didn't round it. That's just
I
what
changed
it
mine
out.
To 9 because I think it's outstanding.
I'm sure Anthony's score is going to be ridiculous knowing all those highs he's giving.
All right,
actually,
Anthony, talk to us.
Maybe I add it wrong, but we'll see.
You divide by 9, correct?
Huh?
You did divide by 9, right?
God damn it. I did this stuff again. Suck it, math. Yeah, this is a great pick, man. I love diving back into it this week. It's an amazing album. I can recommend it to anyone who just wants to listen to some great metal. Anybody listening to this podcast should enjoy this album. I don't see why, you know, because the fan base we built was based on the 80s stuff, so I don't see why you wouldn't enjoy it. Mine came out to an 8.9 when I did it, and I rounded it easily to a 9. So it's an outstanding album. I can almost make it a 10. This is just one of those perfect metal albums. You know, there's those pantheon of metal albums like, you know, Master of Puppets and things like that. This deserves to be in that those kind of albums. So, yeah, I have no problems giving it a 9. So
awesome. Awesome. Well, guys, let's see here. I believe we've got a pick. Christopher.
Yep. And in this corner, weighing in at 165 pounds, it's the blues rock guru, the master of podcast production, and the man who cannot stop the battery. It's Chris's pick.
Oh, help us all. What we got, buddy? What's coming up?
Okay, well, I've had this album on my list for a while to pick, and for whatever reason, other albums kept getting bumped in front of it. But this album, I was kind of reviewing it this morning. It's from 1974. It's got 3 pretty big hits on it. And that's their first album. It's Bad Company's album, self-titled Bad Company. There's even a song called Bad Company on there, so they hit the trio on that. But I think it'll be a fun listen. It's only 8 songs. It's only about 40 minutes long, so it shouldn't be too painful for anybody.
That'll be in 2 weeks, right?
We'll be
taking
in 2 weeks.
Next Sunday off. That's correct.
Okay, cool. So I got a Halloween pick then. Well, I think mine's gonna be a good Halloween pick.
Yeah, this
it
really
was gonna be a
Halloween,
pick anyway. But... So, you know, but get ready for King Diamond, Chris.
Yeah.
No, I'm
just kidding. Before we let that go, I kind of want to talk about old Ronnie James, because I just don't feel like he's well respected. Listen, I know in the metal community he is. He's revered. But I don't think mainstream wise this guy is respected enough. Do you guys concur with that?
I do, because, you know, he is absolutely, his voice was honestly, when I jokingly said that he was larger in his stature, I mean, his voice is massive. And yeah. He went through, four bands, I guess, in his career. Little success in Elf, pretty good success in Rainbow. I thought he had massive success in Sabbath. And then actually, you know, they went back and did a band called Heaven and Hell together. So, and wrote some pretty heavy tunes.
What led to the Sabbath breakup there? Was that Sharon just telling him hit the road, or was that
No. Sharon wasn't part of Sabbath then. You got to remember, it was just, you know, because Ozzy had already been booted from the band or had left the band, whatever you want to call it.
You're right. Never mind.
And Sharon was no longer in that picture. Heck. But you're right. Nonetheless, I think that Ronnie James was just, I mean, he had so many ideas, and the music he went was not the style of Sabbath.
Right.
You got to remember, Sabbath is more like of a down-tuned, doomier, heavier band.
Yeah, that's true.
And Ronnie James went to more of that, I would dare say, the new wave of British heavy metal. I mean, Anthony, you might agree with that. I don't know, because it was faster paced. It was more rocking.
A little similar sound.
Yeah, I mean, I can hear that. Whenever I do a playlist of, you know, based off of a song, like I have one set up for Holy Diver, and it did like all these great bands. Well, bands that are in that are, of course, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Crocus. I mean, some bands from back in those days that were, you know, obviously known and not so much known. And it all fits that same type new wave of British heavy metal. So I think it turned out to be a great decision on his part to become a solo artist. And
probably,
he had this idea about fantasy. He loves all this, you know, Dungeons and Dragons type lyrics. You know, it works for him. You know, his imagery, it worked. You know,
yeah. I think
I don't
Tony,
know why he's not revered in the, you know, regular culture, but
yeah, Tony Iommi might be kind of tough one to work with, because that's his band, isn't it? Black Sabbath.
I would dare say that's his baby.
Because they've had a lot of different people in and out. But when you have one person who's central in that band and have a lot of people floating around it, it kind of makes you wonder what it's like to work for that one person. You know,
right.
You know, because he's been a central figure since day one. So,
but we blame that snafu on me talking about, I don't know why the hell I was talking about Sharon Osbourne. I have no idea, because like that, it's the fog, y'all. It's the COVID fog.
I agree with you too, Chris. I don't think he's as revered out. Like you say, Bruce Dickinson. A lot of people know who Bruce Dickinson is.
Absolutely.
You say Rob Halford.
There are a few people that could step in for Bruce Dickinson. I'm convinced Ronnie James Dio could have. He could
that
have
been
absolutely
an
stepped
take.
Right into Maiden and taken over if he wanted to.
Probably could have.
I mean, he's got those vocals. He does.
He could have crushed. You're absolutely right. I never have ever considered that, but that would have been interesting. He'd been better than Blaze.
Blaze. Well, Blaze, now, we can get on that. Blaze was good for those two albums from Maiden, The X Factor and Virtual Exile. He was good for those albums. And The X Factor is one of their better ones in the 90s, I think. But when he got outside of Blaze's music, oh my golly, he was struggling.
Range, did he?
He didn't have the definitely. Range. But yeah, I think it's a shame that Dio doesn't get the credit that there's a Mount Rushmore of heavy metal singers. I think he should be on there with probably Halford.
You have to put Ozzy there, because you got to think about it. He's pretty much the godfather of heavy metal.
Yeah,
I know some people may disagree with that, but he is the godfather.
Yeah, but do you think about that? If you had Halford, Dickinson, Ozzy, and Dio, you'd have two members from one band on the Mount Rushmore of heavy metal, which is crazy to think
about. It's worth it, man.
But Sabbath, I mean, Sabbath was, they were everything in the metal community back in the day. Really,
just because Ronnie bounced around between a few bands and just wasn't with the same band the whole time. That might have something to do with it. I don't know, but
could
his
be.
Solo stuff is very good. I mean,
but he could go into any band. Like, listen to the Rainbow and Elf stuff. That's like classic rock sound and stuff. Man, it sounds perfect on him.
Man,
then he goes metal and sounds perfect. You know, he's an amazing vocalist. So
he was. He certainly was. Gone too soon, and he was in cancer. God Almighty, dude.
Jeez. It's a shame. We'll never get to see him. That would have been.
It is a shame, and I never did get to see him. I should have. I had a chance to see him in Knoxville. I was a kid, man. I just couldn't get my mom to do it.
Was it with Sabbath?
Yeah, no, it was with Dio. I never, you know, the Heaven Hell never really came close to here.
Yeah.
I hate that. They always played like the major cities. I don't even think they played Charlotte. If they did, I completely crapped the bed on that one because I should have went.
Yeah, jeez. I don't know. If I had a time machine, there's some bands I'd love to go back and just see in their heyday.
Could you imagine seeing him with his, just with all his regalia on, and like the Sacred Heart tour? Granted, I know that's when the band fell apart, but my God, dude, they had the dragon that come out on the stage. I mean, good Lord.
I know. That's the thing, that some people take a time machine for certain things. I would take it to see two things, concerts and movies. I would love to go sit into movie theaters and see like the crowd for Psycho for the first time. Just to see what their reaction was, to see what they saw and how they acted when they saw Psycho for the first time. You know, that kind of thing. Or see Ronnie
like,
in his
I'd be like
day
Biff
or,
Tannen. I'd go back with a sports almanac and just exactly be bets all over the place.
I wouldn't mess with the timeline. I would fade into the
timeline. That's just making a lot of money for yourself. That's all that's doing.
That's exactly right.
You saw what happened in Back to the Future too, then.
Oh, yeah.
True. Very true. So, anyways, but, all right, let's get ready to wrap this thing up. Anthony, what do you got going on this week, man?
Song Lines and Tan Lines. I'm diving back into Coconut Telegraph this week, the album, back into a Buffett album this week. So
fantastic album. Speaking of the maestro, Mr. Buffett, man, we're wishing you a speedy recovery, sir.
Yes, sir.
We heard about the news after the podcast dropped last week, and if you're a fan of Buffett or if you, somebody knows him, we absolutely love everything he does. I mean, granted, we kind of gave him some crap from some of that later stuff, but man, we want you to get better. We want you to come back out on the road. We still got to see you a couple more times. So
sometimes I just forget his age. You know,
it's because the music's
so
timeless, man.
Yeah, it is timeless.
When you become a fan of somebody that, like I've become a fan of Jimmy Buffett more so than you guys have, and you don't see him, I don't want to say not human, you just don't see him in a human way sometimes, you know, you're so used to seeing him as sort of this iconic figure to yourself. And then when he gets sick or you realize he's in his mid to late 70s. You're like, he doesn't have a lot of time, you know. I mean, hell, maybe none of us have a lot of time.
Yeah, there's no guarantee for tomorrow, brother.
No, there's not. But at the same time, when someone gets up into that age, you know, you're
it's time's running out.
And he didn't take care of himself back in the day. He partied like hell back in the day. So you wonder what it did to his body. But anyways,
get well, Jimmy. Yeah, absolutely. Get well. All right. Now, we don't go in a somber way, guys. I mean, Chris, if I were you, I'd grab at the end of this, I'd crank out We Rock off the next album just so people know what's coming next. I'm just kidding.
And get well, that Chris, song. I should say.
Yeah.
Too,
so. Oh, yeah, Chris, definitely. You got to get better.
I'll be
even,
fine.
I know you.
I'm very monitored to this thing. So.
Good deal, man. Good deal. All right, boys. Well, for the Audible Ecstasy podcast, this is Jimmy.
This is Chris.
This is Anthony.
And this is it.